Well, good morning again, everybody. This morning when you came in, you got a little bracelet that says Presence 2018. And on the back, it has a scripture verse, Psalm 16:11. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Yeah. And so what I got this for you is to remind yourself that the first full week of January, we're going to be together worshiping God in the presence of the Lord. And so we've done this every year for 23 years. It's been a powerful time for us, and I just wanted you to remember it, to start praying for it, praying for your time there, and also thinking about who you can bring and who can be a part of that with us, okay? So wear that. Pray for us, and pray for our time together. It's going to be awesome. Hey, this summer I introduced you to Andrew Kubala. Andrew is a healing evangelist with C3. Travels all over the world and ministers, and we had a great time with him. I mean, the altar was full, it was power packed. And while we were there, he said, "You have to meet my wife, Janine. Janine has more anointing for healing than I do." That's what he said. And so anyway, about 2 months ago, Andrew said, "Look, we're coming through the U.S. Would you like to have Janine?" And I said, "Certainly, we would love to have her. Love to have her come and be with us and minister to us this morning." And so Andrew this morning is in Toledo. Funny thing happened when he got here in the U.S. He flew from Sydney to Dallas, and when he got here, he picked up the wrong suitcase. But he had a suitcase that he picked up. It looked just like his suitcase. It looks exactly like his suitcase. The guy who owned the suitcase that he picked up Andrew's suitcase. Then he caught a flight and went to Cancun with Andrew's suitcase. And so yesterday morning, so they came in Friday afternoon. Saturday morning, they finally located the suitcase in Cancun. They called the guy, talked to him on his cell phone. He said, "Do you have your suitcase?" He said, "Yes, I have my suitcase right here." He said, "We don't think it's your suitcase." He said, "That's ridiculous. It's my suitcase." And so then she said, "Well, would you just open it for us then?" And he came back on the phone, "It's not my suitcase." And so anyway, Andrew had to go to Toledo, Ohio on new store-bought clothes. And so his suitcase is going to rendezvous with him in a couple days back here. So, hey, the joys of ministering before the Lord. Yeah, it's always a challenge, always a challenge. Janine, we're really happy to have you here. She has her two sons, their two sons, Sam and Johnny. Sam, give everybody a wave. Johnny, glad you're here. Yeah. And I want you to give a big Dallas welcome to Pastor Janine Kubala. Come on, Janine.
Hey, C3 Trinity Dallas, how you doing? Yeah. Well, you look good. It's so great to be here with you today. And why don't you just stand to your feet? You know, Andrew came back raving about you guys, the kindness in your hearts and the sense of fun that you have. And what he spoke about most of all was just your hunger for the presence of God. So why don't you just raise your hands toward heaven? And I've been praying since before I got here about what God was going to do in this place. And you know, we don't have to wait till the end of the service for God to do a miracle in our lives. And already I believe that God is bringing healing into people's bodies. Specifically, he's bringing healing into areas of arthritis and arthritic pain, degeneration in people's spine, and in the center, the top part of your neck, there's a gentleman here, and God is just bringing healing and taking away that pain in your that part of your body right now. He's also bringing healing from people with anxiety and insomnia, and there's been a spirit of pain that has been upon a family, and the Holy Spirit is right now ministering to you. He's also ministering to your children in the children's church. And he just wants you to know that this spirit of pain has come to an end. It's been cast out in Jesus' name. So come on, lift your hands nice and high. Jesus, we thank you for your power. We thank you for the victories, Christ, that you already won for us on the cross. Those victories, they're accomplished. And all we're doing right now is taking hold of them in your name for our lives and for the lives of our family. Jesus, we give you glory. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence in this place. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a big shout of praise. Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ. He is the big deal. Oh, come on, Dallas, you can do better than that. This is Jesus that we're talking about. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's come here to meet with everyone personally today. Come on, one more shout of praise for Jesus. Jesus, we lift you up. We exalt you. We put you in the right place in our lives, and we honor you today. You are front and center, Jesus. Amen. Friends, why don't you give someone a high five or a little butt slap as you take your seat? Now we're home. Pastor Joe, I just want to thank you and your beautiful wife, Pastor Nancy. You are sunshine on two legs and walking joy. You know, we love you, and it's just such an honor to be here. And even before I arrived, your kindness touched my heart, the care and consideration that you showed to me and my boys in wanting to look after us. And it's such an honor to be here. You know, growing up in Australia, I'm one of five girls. All my sisters are about 5'7". I am 6 feet tall. And so I dreamed about a place where everything was bigger. And I have finally made it to that place. Dallas, Texas, everything's just that little bit bigger. I'm feeling right at home. So thank you. This is my first time here in this great state, and such an honor to be here with you. And, you know, I was just in Cambodia just about 5 days ago, and part of what God is doing there, but visiting C3 churches there. And I just want to let you know that we are part of a global movement, and this family that God has established here in Dallas, it's part of a global family. And Pastor Phil and Chris, they love you, they rave about you guys, and so excited about what God is doing here. And, you know, in our time together today, I would love to pray for people, anyone in pain or if you've got sickness in your body. But I really want to just share with you the story about what Christ has done in my life. And then I'm just going to open things up, and I'm going to pray for people in the meeting if I have time. But afterwards, if I don't have time, please come and find me, and I want to pray with you. I've got a picture that I want to show you, and you might remember this guy, this handsome man, Andrew Kabbalah. I hit the jackpot when I married him. I kissed him first. I just want to put it out there. I liked what I saw. I put a ring on it almost 20 years ago. And we've just moved from Sydney to Wollongong. Everyone say Wollongong. See, you guys are naturals. That's Australian language mastered right there. We live in Wollongong. And Sam and Johnny here on the front row, but also here in our new beachside location. So it's really lovely that we could all be together, and I'm looking forward to rendezvousing with Andrew and his luggage in Nashville shortly. So it's going to be good. But you know, as we come to the end of another year, it's worth just pausing and reflecting and thinking about the way that our choices have positioned us. And you know, our lives are made up of choices, and we make them every second, like we're making a choice, and we actually don't really think about the impact of those choices. Every choice we make has got a consequence. And it's only if we just take a moment to reflect and pause and consider the impact those split-second choices have on our lives, we can understand the magnitude that they have. And, you know, maybe you're here today and you're feeling a little overwhelmed by the things that are confronting you. Maybe you're feeling a bit apathetic, or maybe like you don't have a choice. Well, God is wanting to reposition us today to the place of authority that he's always had for us, and for us to realize the impact that our choices have on our lives. See, sometimes we can think that our lives really don't have much to do with us at all. that they are the consequence of other people's choices or the place that we were born into or a government decision, what's happening in the world. But the truth is, the way that our lives look today is simply a reflection of choices that we have previously made. So if you're here today and you feel like you're in a place of struggle, let me tell you, friend, there is hope for you. We are only ever one choice away from God. We are only ever one choice away from being positioned to take hold of His best for our lives. See, in Genesis 1, verses 27 to 28, the first thing God says when He speaks to mankind, even before verse 31, where He looks at us and He says that we are very good, He looked at C3 Dallas and He was like, yes, not just good, very good. But even before He said that, the first words He spoke were an affirmation of the authority He had empowered us with. He said, I have given you authority to rule and to reign over the earth and everything that I have placed within it. See, sometimes I think that we get two things confused, control and authority. See, we cannot control everything, right? But the first thing God gave us, and it's a gift that God gave, so no one can take it from us, is our authority. And see, Adam and Eve, they didn't get to choose what God created upon the earth. They didn't get to choose the season of their creation. But what God did give them was power, authority to rule over that season, to rule over what He had already created. Are you with me, church? And in the same way, friends, we do not get to choose every season that we are confronted with. We don't get to control what other people do and the consequences of their choices, right? But what we always have access to is the authority to reign and rule over that situation, that season, make a choice that is going to bring God's blessing and God's benefit and position us to take hold of God's purpose regardless of the season or the situation we are confronted with. Every choice has got a consequence, friend. And some choices are more beneficial than others. Would you agree? And you know, we have all made bad choices. Some of us today are dealing with the consequences of bad choices that we've made. And you know, there are others of us here, and we are dealing with the hurt and the damage that's the consequence of other people's bad choices. But God does not leave us alone to deal with those things. He loves us. And this scripture has already been quoted this morning, but it says that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ. Come on, friends, say this with me if you know it. That whosoever would believe in Him, they would not perish. They would have everlasting life. Because God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. He did that. He sent Christ so that through Him, all mankind would be saved. Friends, we are coming up to a season where we remember that Jesus came for one purpose. It is to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, to destroy the power of every bad choice we've ever made, to destroy the damage that is a consequence of other people's bad choices, and to restore our relationship with God. And friend, the most powerful and important choice that any person can ever make is that choice to ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart, to forgive us, to destroy the power of sickness, death, and pain in our lives and restore our relationship with God. It is a choice nobody can make for us. And it's a choice no one can ever stop us from making. We have the authority to make that choice. And it is a choice that will not only transform our lives, but it will change our eternities. This is the most important choice any person can make. And I'm going to give every person the opportunity to make that choice later today. But before I do that, I want to share with you just a couple of choices that I made in my life and the consequences that they had. And then the one choice for me that changed everything. So just to let you know just a little bit about me, as well as being a 6 foot tall Australian, I grew up in a small community, a farming community, and my family have a dairy farm. I'm not sure if there are many dairy farms around this place. I know there's lots of land and cattle and things, but I don't know, are there udders on those cows? I'm not sure. But grew up in a beautiful rural community, four sisters, a mum and dad who love me. I grew up going to church every Sunday, singing "Yes, Jesus Loves Me" in Sunday school. But I remember when I was about 9 years old, I was at a Christian children's camp. And while I was away, I was sexually abused by a group of the male leaders. And I immediately told a female what happened, and she told me that it was my fault. That at the age of 9, I was a little flirt, and I bought it on myself. I deserved what I got. And if I told anybody else, I would just be making more trouble for myself. And you know, things happen in our lives that are not our fault. The consequences can be very damaging. That was clearly not my fault. And in a room of this many people, male and female, I know that there are people, things like that have happened to you, maybe similar or maybe different. And that voice of guilt and condemnation has been placed upon you. But friend, you need to know that it was not your fault. You did not deserve it. You didn't bring it on yourself. And that was never God's plan for your life. And He can bring healing to that part of your life and restoration. But you know, as a little girl, I made a choice. I can't trust people and I don't like myself. For those people to treat me like that, there must be something wrong with me. I remember another choice I made when I was in my late teens, and I was helping out in a really thriving youth ministry. But I remember being called into the senior pastor's office, and the youth pastor had just been arrested. He had been sexually abusing the boys in the youth group. And there were 30 young boys, about 12 years old, who came and pressed charges against him. And I remember the bottom, it felt like the bottom fell out of my world. You know, so many terrible things are done in the name of God that have absolutely nothing to do with Him. Friends, Jesus is perfect. People are not. And at that age, I lacked the maturity to see the difference. And I thought, you know what? That is it. I'm done with church. I'm done with people. And I made a deliberate choice to walk away from church. In my mind, I could never deny the reality of God. I would always say that I loved God, that I believed in God. It was just institutionalized religion and church I didn't have any time for. But you know, that choice to walk away from church, it was also the pathway that led me away from God. I began exploring other religions, a lot of Eastern religions, and I traveled to Florida. I studied at the University of Miami in Florida, and while I was there, I became very involved with the Hare Krishnas. And what I loved about that religion is that it was all-encompassing, that it believed in basically every religion, and that you could worship whatever God in whatever form that you liked. And my wounded heart just loved the tolerance and the inclusiveness of that, even though, like, inherently it was very contradictory. What happens if there are lots of versions of truth but they oppose each other? Which one then do you choose? See, the problem with tolerance and being inclusive of everything is that if you believe everything, what you actually stand for is nothing at all. At some point in our lives, we have to decide what it is that we believe, what is the truth, and make a stand for that truth. And there were just so many things that didn't add up for me. Everything in me just wanted to jump off the cliff and leap into being a Hare Krishna. But I'm glad you find that funny. The mental image is a little amusing, right? But everything in me wanted to be part of this community. And my friends were there for 3 months. I was there 24/7. This was like my family. But there were just some things that didn't add up for me. And so I remember sitting down with a woman. She was one of the leaders in the Hare Krishna movement. And she just returned from India. And someone said to me, look, she's so wise and enlightened. She's going to be able to answer all your questions. So I sat down in a room with her and I said, you know, I think it would be useful for our discussion to have something to base our discussion on. And I've heard that you believe that the Bible is the truth, that it's the Word of God. And she said, well, I do believe that the Bible is a form of truth and one of many divinely inspired doctrines. So yes, we can use that as the basis of our discussion. And so I said to her, you say that there are many gods and that we can serve whatever God in whatever form we like. But the Bible says that there's only one God. Not only that, it says that he is a jealous God and that he specifically commanded we should have no other gods but him. And when I said that, she looked very irritated. And she said, Janine, if you ever want to be able to experience real truth, you need to let go of that narrow-minded thinking and you need to learn to open your mind. So I was like, right, I'm opening my mind. I'm not sure quite how to do that, but all right, I'm opening my mind. My mind is as open as it's ever going to be. But there's just this one thing, and it's the bottom line for me. See, you say that there are many pathways to God, but the Bible says that there is only one, that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, he came. He lived as a man, a life that was without sin. He allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. And the punishment for all the sin of mankind was placed upon him, and he died in our place. But he rose again 3 days later, and it's only through Christ that our relationship with God can be restored. Friends, when I mentioned the name Jesus and the power of the cross, that woman's demeanor changed completely. I saw a presence flash beneath her eyes. She looked at me with contempt and she said, I am sick of your perverse Christian fascination with a dead Jew. Get out. Just like that. 3 months of relationship, 3 months of community. I was immediately escorted off the premises and told never to come back. I didn't mind. That lady really freaked me out. Do you know, all that time, I'd been talking about God. I talked about the Creator. I talked about love and the universe and positive vibes and good energy. Nobody missed a beat. The moment that I mentioned the name Jesus Christ, there was an immediate response, an immediate separation, done, over, just like that. There is one name that brings change into our world, friend. It is the name of Jesus. We can talk about all those other things, but it is the name of Christ alone that brings change. You know, I left that place and something was flashing in my mind. Jesus, what is it about that name? But you know, I wasn't ready to let go of all my stuff quite yet. And I'd finished my degree, so I thought it was a good time to go traveling. And I was in Florida, so I decided to buy a one-way ticket to Caracas in Venezuela. And I was with two girlfriends, and we thought it would be a good idea to go backpacking through Central America and Mexico and make our way back to the United States that way. So we spent, I think it was $99 on a one-way ticket to Caracas. And I've got some pictures that I want to show you. This is 1993. So I want you to bear with me. This is before cell phones and selfies. This is a disposable camera. This is just driving down from the airport into the city of Caracas, taking out the window. As soon as I exited the airport, somebody jumped up over the top of my backpack, pulled my earrings out of my ears, and ripped off the gold chain I had around my neck. That should have been a clue back then. The next slide, if we can see that. This is my friend Kirsty. This is where we spent the first night in Caracas. It wasn't very sanitary, but we were still clean enough, if I can show the next slide, to... Okay, we're missing one. That's all right. We made it to the rooftop pool at the Caracas Hilton until the lifeguards realized we weren't actually staying there. But then this next slide shows we hitchhiked through Venezuela and then Central America. We met people and stayed with people. This family were really lovely. That's in the Andes Mountains. Next slide. Sometimes there weren't any places to stay, so we just slept. This is actually a bar on the beach. And next slide. These gentlemen actually were a lot of fun. They were really kind. Most people were lovely. And this is off the coast of Belize. And if we can just keep scrolling through. And then the next image, eventually, you can move to the next one. We made our way to Costa Rica and to a little community on the Caribbean coast called Puerto Viejo. It was right on the border of Costa Rica and Nicaragua. And I met some guys when we first arrived. They were Canadians. And they said they had a cabin in the forest and that we could stay with them. And so this is the view from the porch to, you can just see the ocean in the background there. But it was very dense jungle. If I can have the next slide. And this is Dan, one of the guys that we met. So we were about 3 miles away from Puerto Viejo in the jungle is where the cabin was, and that is the track that led to the cabin. So if we can just hold that there. And so my friends and I are staying with these two guys. We didn't know much about them except that they were Canadian. There were lots of drugs around, people using drugs, and it soon became apparent that Dan and Carl weren't just using drugs, they were actually dealing drugs. That was their livelihood. And that they were wanted in the US and Canada on drug charges. I never used drugs, I never sold drugs or anything like that. I did need to make some money, so I started a business baking muffins. And just to put it out there were no extra herbs or spices in the muffins. They were legitimate mango, coconut, banana muffins. But it was a killer business opportunity. I was continually surrounded by people with the munchies. Muffin sales were off the charts. But I remember one time I'd been here for about a month, and there was a telephone in the village of Puerto Viejo. And I was there one evening and I called my family. My family in Australia hadn't heard from me for months. And so I thought I'd give them a call and just let them know I was okay. And I spoke with my sister on the phone. And she said, Janine, you need to call Dad. Would you please just call him, let him hear your voice and let him know that you're okay. He wakes up every night crying. He's having nightmares. He's just so worried about you. And you know, the last conversation that I'd had with my dad was when I was still in Miami, and it was a fight. He said to me, Janine, I want you to come home. I'm really worried about you. And I told him, I am 22 years old. I can make my own choices. I'll do what I want. And I hung the phone up on him. I didn't want to talk to my dad I didn't want to have another fight, but I was overwhelmed with guilt. And so I made another choice. I decided to try and silence my guilt by drinking shots of tequila. Not a good choice. Don't know if you've ever made that before. And you know, I was in this village. I'd never really drunk a lot of alcohol before. I hadn't eaten a lot. It didn't take many shots of tequila before I could hardly stand up anymore. And so I just remembered thinking, you know what, I'm just going to get down here on the ground where it's a little bit cooler and more stable. And while I was on the ground, I was having the most profound revelations. Like, why do people walk around on two legs? Like, seriously, why? When crawling around through the dirt in your on your hands and knees, it's just so much more fun. And it was fun for about 5 minutes before the whole world just began to spin and waves of nausea began to wash over me and I could not stop vomiting and crying. I'm such a terrible person. It was that moment my friends decided to leave me. No one likes a crier, right? Is it the same in Dallas? It's bad for the vibe, okay? It brings everything down. But what is it about the friends that buy you the shots of tequila that make you drunk, that no longer want to be your friend when you're actually drunk? What is with that? And so I thought, you know what, I need to get back to the cabin. I got up on my legs and everything was still working, just at a much slower pace. But I needed to walk back through this jungle 3 miles in pitch black on my own. And then as I'm stumbling through the jungle, beside me was Dan. And he said, I'll take you. And he grabbed me and I remember thinking, maybe this was not such a good choice. What do I know about this guy? I know that he's a drug dealer. I know that he can't return to Canada or the US because he's wanted in those places on drug charges. Maybe this wasn't such a great idea. I was completely alone, and he tried to do some really terrible things to me. And I'm not sure if you've ever felt fear like this before, that paralyzing, chilling kind of fear. But all I know is that when he was on top of me, everything inside me was screaming out, Jesus! I don't even know if it was an audible scream or if it was just coming from my heart. But in that moment, there was a blinding yellow light on this track, and it wasn't an angelic host. It was the headlights of a truck. If you just have a look at that track, I had never seen a vehicle, a motorbike on that track, let alone a truck. And there was a truck with its lights on us. A man jumped out, said, what's going on here? Pulled Dan off me, picked me up, threw me in the back of the truck and drove me to the cabin. He took off my shoes, put me into bed and sat on the porch and waited until my friends got home early in the morning. I know that it was real. I know that it happened because they had a conversation with him. Was he an angel? I don't know. All I know is I cried out to Jesus and the intervention of heaven came into my world. You know, friends, I made at that time another choice. Maybe it won't seem obviously a choice to you. I decided to do nothing. In my damaged, broken heart, I decided that was my fault. I should never have put Dan in that situation. I bought that on myself. And instead of doing something about it, I just decided to stay. Every choice that we make has got a consequence. And friends, some of you right now are in damaging, dangerous situations. And the choice to do nothing, the choice not to change is still a choice. And there will be consequences. For me, that consequence looked like this. A few days later, I got caught up in a drug deal with those guys. I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. The guy that they were doing a drug deal with, and we were right on the border of Nicaragua, was not only one of the main suppliers of drugs out of Nicaragua, he was one of the main suppliers of women into Nicaragua. This is 1993. There was a civil war going on, and they needed young women for all of the soldiers. Here I was, a young woman. My family had no idea where I was, all on my own. He wanted to buy me and include me in that deal. And I remember being there with Dan. He was buying cocaine, and he said, "Janine, you've got to get out of here. Just run." He gave me a 1 kilo bag of cocaine because he said, "You know, if the police find us, it's just better if we all just have a part of it each." And I was like, okay. Like, seriously, not making good choices. Running through the jungle, a bag of cocaine, a guy that wants to buy me and sell me to the Nicaraguan army. And I remembered my childhood on a dairy farm on the coast of Australia with parents who love me, in church every Sunday singing, "Yes, Jesus loves me," thinking, how did I get here? How has my life come to this? One little choice, followed by another little choice, and another little choice, and there I was. You know, eventually I was able to escape that situation. I flew to Cancun. I met up with my husband's luggage in Mexico, made my way back to Australia. And on the outside, friends, I probably looked like I had it all together. I had a good job, I had a nice apartment, good clothes, my career was going well, I had everything that I thought should make me happy on the inside. The only problem was I was desperately sad. Those things did nothing for me. And how could they ever do anything for me? Friends, money did not die on a cross to take away our guilt, remove our shame, and heal our pain. Our friends, our family, those relationships, they are wonderful. But they did not die on a cross. They didn't take away the power of our sin. They didn't remove our pain and deal with our shame. Only Jesus did that. I was a great pretender. Are there any great pretenders out there today? On the outside, I was so desperately trying to present this perfect image to the world. But on the inside, everything inside me was falling apart. I couldn't escape the pain of my past. I couldn't escape the depression and the eating disorders that controlled every part of my life. There was not one day that I did not seriously contemplate ending my life. But I remember another choice that I made. And if I can have the worship team come back, that would be great. It was 20 years ago, 1 month before my 25th birthday. And I was asleep having a dream. And in my dream, I was having a conversation with the devil. And you know, he wasn't that cute Halloween guy with the red suit and the pitchfork. He wasn't the horror movie version of himself. You know, he was just a presence, but one that I recognized immediately. He was empathetic. He was very understanding of me, but he was distant and cold. And he said to me, "Janine, you are messed up. Your mind is tortured. And the reason you are so messed up is because you are sitting on the fence. Your whole life you have believed in God. And let's not kid each other, we both know that God is real." Friend, not even the devil will deny the reality of the God who created the universe. God is real. That is the truth. The only question is our relationship with him. And the devil went on to say, "Janine, that information that you have about God hasn't brought you any peace. It hasn't brought you any joy. I'm asking you to live for me. And if you do that, I can guarantee that you will be wealthy. I can guarantee you'll be successful in your career. And Janine, I'm more than happy for you to keep that eating disorder. Nothing in your life is going to need to change. You won't have to confront anything. I was like, sold. Where do I sign? I gave my heart to Satan of my own free will. What happened next happened in just a moment. I felt darkness like an ice-cold sword plunge into my heart. The chill of it took my breath away. But without even thinking, I woke myself up screaming out, Jesus! Immediately, I was awake and aware of what I'd done and what I needed to do to make it right. I got out of my bed. I got on my knees and I prayed. I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me. I felt peace come straight away. I got into my bed and I slept like a baby until morning. But do you know when I woke up, I knew this changes everything. This is not some religious experience. This is not theology. This changes my life. I resigned from my job. I moved to another city. I broke up with my boyfriend. That wasn't hard. He wasn't a good person anyway. Changed everything. My life now looks nothing like it did before. I cannot believe the man that I got to be married to, the boys I get to raise, the life I get to live. But I follow that blessing back to its origin, which was simply one choice, to ask Christ, I surrender to you, Jesus, please come change my life. One moment can change everything, friends. Excuse my emotion. Friends, would you just bow your head and close your eyes? This choice is the most important choice any person can make. God is not angry at us. He loves us. He sent Jesus, and this is the whole reason we celebrate Christmas. He sent Jesus for you, sir. Sweetheart, Jesus came just to meet you. He knows the things that we're battling in our minds and in our hearts, and he's not angry. He's not embarrassed. He's come from heaven to meet with us because he loves us. He wants to heal us, to forgive us, to set us free, but he cannot force himself upon us. It's a choice that we have to make, inviting him to come into our heart. And there are people here, and you may not be running through the Costa Rican jungle with a bag of cocaine, and I hope you never are, friend. But you look at your life, the things you're facing, the way you're feeling, and you think, how did I get here? How does my life come to this? Well, friend, just one prayer whispered to God can alter the course of your whole life. There are other people here, and you are a good person. You are not a bad person, friend. This is not what it's about. You are not living for the devil. You're just not living for God either. You're sitting on the fence. You know what it is to know God, even to pray and read the Bible. There are even people in leadership positions here. But you know that you haven't surrendered your heart to God. Friend, religion, tradition, those things can have some value, but they cannot save us. It's only a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that can bring the change that you need. You are stuck in a rut. There are marriages here and you feel like it's over. Friend, everything can change, but sir, it begins with you leading your family back into right relationship with God. You can only do that, if you are in right relationship with him, first of all. This is a moment of change. There are other people here, and there's damage in your heart. It's caused by the consequences of other people's bad choices. You're living with guilt and condemnation. And it's Christ alone who came to heal broken hearts and to set us free from those prisons of bad choices that are keeping us slaves and allowing us to let people treat us in a way that is dishonoring. Friend, this is a moment of change for you. So every head bowed and all eyes closed, I want every person just to consider this question. Am I in relationship with Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ living in my heart? That is an honest question. Friend, the question is not, do I believe in God? Am I a good person? Am I a leader? Because friends, I grew up in church. I was a leader in church, but I didn't know Christ personally. And because of that, my whole world got so messed up. So if you're here and you cannot honestly answer yes, that Jesus is not number one in your heart, just on the count of three, where you're seated, I just want you to raise your hand nice and high. I'll see it, and then you can put it down. One, two, three. Lift it nice and high. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Where are those people? Lift it nice and high. I see you, sir, at the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Friends, what we're going to do, if you would just stand to your feet. Just look up at me. Thank you, friends. You know, if you raised your hand, we would love to pray with you after the service. But what we're going to do now is we're just going to pray this prayer that is going to alter your life and your eternity. This prayer changed my life. So, friends, would you pray this after me? Dear God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to pay the price for my sin. Jesus, I believe that you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God, and you're my Savior. Forgive me. Be the Lord of my life. Help me to live every day in your presence. Jesus, thank you that I am saved. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a big shout of praise.
You know, I really want Pastor Janine to pray for anyone here who has been through some kind of abuse, anyone who's walking around with guilt, condemnation, still thinking it was your fault, something you did wrong. And you just carry that around. And I wanted to pray for you and really minister to you. I mean, she's been healed. And God can heal you too. And you know, the real issue for all of us is just coming to a place of surrender, where we just surrender. We give up fighting and trying to do it ourselves, right? Just surrender. So I just want you to come up and come forward. If you want to have prayer now, just come now. And Pastor Jenny, if you'd come over and just, there's going to be people that are going to come. Just come. Everybody, anybody wants to come. And I want her to just pray for us. Yeah, pray for us. Who else? Anybody? Come on. Yeah. Don't be ashamed or dismayed or, yeah, this is a great time. It's a great time. Jesus is awesome. No matter how far you get away from him, it only takes one step to get back. No matter how far you go, it only takes one turn to come back. That's it. And so you may be feeling far away from Jesus right now. It just takes one turn to come back. Just turn your heart towards him. Jesus said, if anybody wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Let's surrender. Pick up his cross. Follow me. Yeah, if you're here today and want prayer, we want to pray for you. Great. Come on. Thank you. Who else? Who else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You guys, would you just come just a little closer? Just come just a little closer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Fantastic. Okay, for the rest of us, would you take your neighbor's hand, just pray for him. Father, yeah, just take their neighbor's hand. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bring your healing presence and your healing power now upon this person that I'm touching now in Jesus' name. Heal their body, heal their mind, heal their hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 All of you can be dismissed. If you go quietly, please. We're praying here at the front. God bless you. Next Sunday, our Christmas Eve service, both services next Sunday. God bless you.